This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman, and we're starting things off with Popek Popek International. Today, focusing on how China might actually be a world green leader, which is not a usual headline that we see associated with China. So this is coming from a South China Morning Post article. The author, Stephen Roach, argues that in their rush to vilify China over trade, the West may have really kind of missed the point on one key thing when it comes to China, and that is their sustainability strategy.
So despite China being the world's biggest emitter of greenhouse gases, the author said that the country has made great progress in being more green. In a little over a decade, their economic structure has shifted its focus to low carbon services, aggressively moving away from coal to oil, natural gas, hydro and renewables.
China has also invested more in public transportation, and the electric vehicles market is actually doing better than the US and Europe, if you guys didn't know that. China also has plans to build over 250 eco-cities, which will feature things like low-energy construction materials, light mass transport, and well-planned green space urban pockets.
So this was kind of the key thing that we were thinking about, right? Which is, we are always looking at this push and pull, or what looks like a push and pull between between development and growing and moving forward, and then also being sustainable and balancing the needs of the environment. So we want to know, for you, I suppose, how important is the environment as a government policy? Do you want to see it front and center? How do you want to see Malaysia becoming more green? We spoke to a few people. Here's what they came back with.
There are already efforts in place, right, to like completely eliminate single-use plastics by like 2025 or 2030 or something. But I feel like that's a very small step for a very big problem. I feel like the real thing that needs to be done, you know, initiating carbon taxes, forcing companies to reduce emissions.
I think that perhaps building more cycle paths to give people an alternative to driving, or even public transportation. But I think public transportation is better than driving, but I think more cycling.
I'd like to see better organization when it comes to recycling, better education as well, just because so far it's kind of just throwing everything in one place, hoping that someone else is going to get that done. I think it could definitely be improved a lot more.
Right now, yes, we are focusing more on the plastic straws, which we're all aware about it. I would say plastic cutleries. Sooner or later, we all have to take our part to cut down on plastic cutleries. Probably we can start implementing this from schools, offices, could be our home.
Heavier focus on education, I think, would be the better long-term solution. It's going to take tens and tens and tens of years, but I think we can get there still, yeah.
So that's a perspective from here in Malaysia. We want to know also, I mean, when it comes to being sustainable as well as pushing forward in development, what do you want to see prioritized? What ideas do you have for how that can be balanced? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
You know, so going back to China, I think one interesting way we cross paths in this conversation is the fact that we are one of the countries that are involved in their Belt and Road Initiative, right? So I think there is a role that Malaysia can play here in trying to push China to be more green, trying to push these massive construction projects to, you know, to be less polluting and also to be greener. And that's just one part of it, right? And the other thing is also, I wonder if it's truly China's role to save the world here, right? The US recently pulled out of the Paris Agreement, and I'm thinking, okay, now there is a huge gap and people are now looking towards China to do it because they look like they can.
I don't think it's so much about whether or not it's China's role, you know, to save the earth. But while reading articles about this, you find that China tends to live in the world of superlatives. They are always the world's largest, the world's biggest, the world's, you know, and that's just by nature of the size
of their population.
Pretty much. So, I mean, just now when you were saying that their electric vehicle sales are
better than US, than Europe.
Yeah, but one of the examples was Germany. And I'm like, well, there's a big population size difference there. But yeah, because China lives in this land of they're always the biggest, the largest. So most greenhouse gas emissions, but also world leader in green tech. I'm not sure they're necessarily doing it for the sake of the earth so much as they are, so much as it's a concerted pivot away from their grow at all costs push that emerged, I think, in the 80s. And now I think you're seeing that same sense of growth, but how do we make it sustainable because it's important? How do we make it sustainable because it's important for us? And that, I think, is ultimately going to be one of the things that has us all thinking a bit more sustainably, simply because I think there is often this idea of think of your children, think of the earth, think of this and that. But it is a very general sense. I mean, it's very hard to persuade any average person or a government to do something for the sake of the earth. It's a very sort of loose term. But when you can show that there are benefits for you, there are benefits for your economy, there are benefits for your growth, then I think it changes. And I think that's what China's seeing here.
I think it's, in a way, it's quite inevitable that China has taken up this leadership position in this whole green revolution. Like you said earlier, Kelvin, the US pulled out of the Paris Agreement, and China has played a more of a front and center role. And I believe that it's quite related to the fact that they are one of the largest economies after the US. So what it means is that they have the economic might to sort of invest in new innovations to promote green practices, like the rail, and to shift more green sources of energy. And it comes hand in hand with the ability to economically move towards that direction. So when we're talking about like Malaysia, for example, to move towards the green revolution, I think that it will come to us when we are better economically.
Well, there is that. I think there is also the fact that China is relatively late to urbanization compared to other parts of the world. And with that comes also the fact that they can capitalize on the learnings that everybody else has already come to.
And the tech that now already exists that didn't back then.
Correct. So there's tech, there's the learnings about specific things like planning. So I think it's really going to be quite interesting, because we also know that China has ghost cities. I think, if you haven't actually looked at them, some of the photo essays from those ghost cities are really fascinating. But now they're planning to build 250 more of these urban eco-cities, smart cities, essentially. Considering they have that, considering they are thinking of accounting for more urban migration as well, I just find it really fascinating to see what they're going to come up with. Because, again, they're coming at it with an advantage. They're coming at it with more learning. They're coming at it with more tech. And now they're coming at it with money too. So it's a lot of different things going on. But yeah, so we're talking about how China is kind of a stealth, or at least stealth to us, green leader when it comes to adopting green tech. And we want to know whether you think Malaysia needs to do the same. Do we need to push to make this happen here in our country as well, while still developing? You can call us and let us know your ideas. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be speaking with Alizan Mahadi after this. He's a senior fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies Malaysia. That's coming your way on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:14 in the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. And on Popit Popit International today, we're looking at China being a world leader in terms of adopting green methods, green tech. And bearing in mind that they're also, of course, the world leader in greenhouse gas emissions. Like I said, they live in a world of largest, most, best. That's just how it is. But we want to hear from you. I mean, considering this news about China, do you think that we also need to be prioritizing greenness in our development as a country? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now we have on the line Alizan Mahadi, senior fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies Malaysia, where his research focuses on governance for sustainable development. Alizan, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you start by talking to us about what caused China's pivot towards going green?
Well, two things really. First, on the domestic front, essentially it was a necessity. Large parts of China's land resources were polluted. I think about a fifth of it was polluted. 40% of its land was degraded. So it was, of course, China is one of the, especially before, was one of the worst polluted in terms of the air quality and so on. So I think China was aware that its rapid economic growth has led to various environmental issues and environmental pollution. So one of it is really out of necessity at the domestic level. But secondly, is out of its international standing and position. China was very active, especially in the climate change Paris Agreement, where they had a summit with the United States. At that time, it was still under President Obama, where the two countries had a landmark agreement to reduce carbon emissions. So China, I think, saw from an international perspective how they could take a leading role as the environment has become a very important international issue. This has been seen also through its Belt Road Initiative, where China is increasingly ensuring that the BRI is complementary to sustainability and sustainable development goals.
And what made it work? I mean, what have been some of the key changes that were made towards that goal of sustainability?
For example, in terms of climate change, there were more aggressive targets, essentially. Before this, especially at the international level, there wasn't targets for China, because at that point, before this, it was considered only developed countries should be providing targets. But that was one of the breakthroughs of the Paris Agreement. So China pursued more aggressive policy targets. For example, in terms of reducing carbon emissions, China targeted 60 to 65%. Of emissions, lowering emissions intensity below 2005 levels, as well as increasing 4.5 billion cubic meters of forests to increase its forest carbon stock. So they've went for more aggressive and more ambitious policy targets domestically. Also, in terms of policy, China's idea of sustainability is also fairly comprehensive. It also addresses more of a lifestyle approach. I think President Xi Jinping announced the idea of transitioning towards an ecological civilization, although the details are less clear, but this should really mainstream the idea of environment to all parts of society.
And, you know, China is big, and there seems to be a real sense of cohesion to this decision to prioritize green development. It seems as if it is something that's happening across infrastructure, across development and construction. How did this happen? I mean, is it partly as a result of being a one-party country?
Possibly. And this is a larger debate, of course, between democracy and freedoms, with addressing the issue of sustainability from the China's perspective. I think the key reason for that cohesion is because it's top-down. And with the system of the country, it's possible to implement policies from a top-down perspective. So the Communist Party of China has prioritized environment as an important issue. In fact, it was one of the three issues in China's current development plan. So you can see it's very high up the priority. And within the system in China, it's more easily implemented. Now, you contrast this with, for example, what's happening in the United States, where the United States is pulling out of the Paris Agreement, et cetera. So there are questions there. But on the other hand, it's not as simple as that. Some of the top performing countries environmentally are Scandinavian countries, who are also very democratic. So it's not there's no silver bullet. It's not one simple model of government that succeeds, but perhaps in the case of China, it's true that it's more easy to implement this because of its system.
Well, I guess the picture is also a bit complicated, right? Because at the same time, China is still the biggest user of coal. Is this a sign of unevenness in terms of greenness across the country when it comes to energy use and consumption?
Yes, I think I remember someone telling me that China is number one for everything. So it's a bit of a paradox. Here, China is still the biggest consumer of coal. At the same time, it's also the largest manufacturer of renewables. And it's, in terms of coal, it's not just the biggest consumer of coal, but through the Belt Road Initiative and others, it's also one of the biggest developers of coal power stations across the world as well. So certainly, there is a bit of a paradox there. And as you say, an unevenness in terms of greenness, not just across the country, but globally in terms of their policy. So in one way, they are one of the best, I would say, in terms of moving towards renewables. But on the other way, they are still one of the biggest polluters.
And what's been the impact of the sustainability focus on China's economy?
Well, the economy, the difference with China compared to countries like Malaysia is, of course, a very huge economy with large market. So I would say the impact has been very big to transition, for example, to renewable energy, because China themselves are the producers and they have the market themselves to sell it to. And that's not the case in small economies such as Malaysia. So the impact on the economy has not been that large. Saying that, recently at the Climate Action Summit, which China is attending now, China and India were requesting for more finance for developing countries, including themselves, China, to construct more renewable energy. So there you can see that perhaps there is a limit, at least in the Chinese negotiators. They do think that there is a limit to how much expenditure they can spend on renewable energy because they are requesting for additional finance from developed countries.
And looking at something else, I mean, one of the growing global concerns we're seeing is energy security. In your view, is China's shift to green tech and eco-urban cities going to help to alleviate some of this stress on their country?
Sure. I mean, energy security would be one of the main reasons for any country to transition to more renewable energy, especially countries that depend more on exports of fuel sources. So certainly there would be less dependent on fuel, but more importantly, perhaps even on a global geopolitical scale, it's not just being dependent in terms of energy security for the country, but also not being dependent economically in terms of, for example, dependence on oil and gas of other countries. So I think that does play a role, but I still think, as I mentioned earlier, the key thing is less about energy security, but more about the two things of addressing domestic environmental pollution concerns, as well as addressing or playing a role in upholding international institutions that promote sustainability.
And earlier you pointed out that the size of our economy is, of course, very different to that of China. But what are some of the key lessons we can take away from what China has accomplished?
I think the key lesson there is that it can be done. For example, one of the big success stories actually in China beyond the renewables is reforestation. I think between in the last 20 years or so, they have, if I'm not mistaken, reforested about 50 million hectares, which is a huge amount of area. So China is leading the world in terms of reforestation, while other countries mainly still deforesting. Deforestation still occurring. So I think the main lesson here is that through coordinated approach, through commitment, countries can progress towards sustainability. It's not a pipe dream. And China has demonstrated some of the successes that have occurred within the country.
Alizan, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Alizan Mahadi, Senior Fellow at the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, Malaysia. We're talking about China and how in their push to grow and develop, they are also prioritizing greenness, green tech, green solutions. And so we're thinking, as a developing country ourselves, how can we take some lessons from that? What are some of the things we can learn? Do you think it's important that we prioritize this? You can call 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We have this tweet here from Lewis that says, seems like we as in BFM are always engaged in cynical rhetorics to put down a certain nation, in this example China, in favour of their Western masters. Specifically addressing you, Lynn.
Hello.
Try to go to China and see how much they've developed beyond your belief or, well, self-fallacy, and their integrated green policies with and in their development agenda.
So, Lewis, if you could get back in touch, I'd really appreciate it, because I think that's what I said. As in that I believe that China has really integrated green policies into their development because it is in their interest to do so. And I don't know about Western masters, it's been 60 years.
Yeah.
But I do think that in this case, China is really offering an interesting example. I think it's like what Alizan was saying. For me, what I find fascinating when it comes to China is that there are many challenges specific to China
Yep.
that are because of their size, because of their size, because of their population, because of the fact that, like I said, they're relatively late to urbanization, to this push forward for capitalism and growth. And because of that, it's really fascinating to see what they do, because every step they make ends up having all these ripple effects. And I just... there's a part of me that finds it inspiring that if a country as large and as development-focused as that can find green solutions, then it seems that...
We can take lessons from that as well.
I would think so. I mean, and that's the argument that was put forward in the South China Morning Post in the first place, because that article chastised the West, actually, for not doing as much as China.
Yeah, and actually, the economic slowdown has pushed China in two ways. You know, local governments, they are sort of tasked with developing their cities, and they have the incentive to sort of stay with coal and further build up coal mines. So that's a safer option where it's also more profitable. But now it's also pushing China federally in a different way, because green energy, especially sort of solar power, is now economically on par with coal. So it is quite interesting. It's not like just because they happen to be a state that's a bit more that follows authoritarianism, that they have like a single top-down solution for everything, but there are internal resistors that don't want to go for that change yet.
MZ sent us a WhatsApp saying, "I was in Shanghai last year and had the opportunity to go to my boss's house, a Chinese citizen, and he had solar panels around his house with an investment of equivalent around 40,000 ringgit. He is also selling the excess he made to the national grid every month. He drives an electric vehicle that costs less than a Camry in Malaysia after conversion. And the government there provides a lot of incentives for these initiatives, and it's paying off. While at the same time, we are debating about placing incinerators in every state. Go figure."
So that's interesting, right? Because we've been looking at it from a larger point of view, like infrastructure, transportation. But it seems as if it's actually trickling down to a citizen level, which is really cool, because that's also what's going to count, right? You can have all these green initiatives, but if people aren't necessarily making habit changes, it doesn't mean anything. But yeah, so we're talking today about development and trying to include green development into that. And how can we here in Malaysia do that? Do we need to prioritize it? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.